Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kahn.
And I am Fozzie Bear. And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. You know how last week I promised we would have Neil Miller back? I'm breaking my promise. I'm like a politician. I'm just...
It's a podcast of lies.
That's right. Kevin lied and people, well, no one died. I mean, it's just people just didn't show up. But Neil's got a little more things to deal with this weekend. So I've invited Fozzie Bear. You're the one who's guest hosted the most. Actually, this is your third guest host.
It is. Really? So yeah. Is this a champ? Do I have a world championship reigning crown of co-hosting?
You are, let's just say that you're my Joan Rivers.
Okay.
For Fat Guys at the Movies. For anyone who watched The Tonight Show back in the 80s.
Ooh.
When Johnny Carson was not really hosting it.
Way to date yourself.
I don't date myself, no one will.
Oh, ba-doom boom.
I brought Fozzie back because he's always been a good co-host, and we thought we'd have some fun talking about movies that neither of us have seen.
Yeah, and I can not see a movie like a mofo.
Yeah, that's right. So let's go ahead and get the paperwork out of the way. You can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and get us just by searching Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop up. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 614-388-8735. We have no idea if we're getting any of these because, like I said, Neil's the one who has access to those. And
You should get that password. Is it just impossible for you to have that?
No, he doesn't trust me. The password's his mother's maiden name, which I keep telling him he should just change because that's a bad idea. Funny enough, I have a social security number. Good figure.
I'm sure his mother whispered her maiden name to you one night in bed anyway.
Wow.
Ooh.
Whoa. Bam. Wow. You really are thrown down the gauntlet going after Neil Miller there.
Sorry. Love you, Neil. Love your mom, too.
Loves your mom as much as your mom loves Gerard Butler. But anyways, enough about Neil. We're talking about there's only one movie opening wide this week, and that's Resident Evil Apocalypse in 3D. There's also I'm Still Here. I keep wanting to say I'm Not There, which is the Bob Dylan movie. And somebody I know, Tyler Foster on Twitter, Droid Guy, for anyone who follows him, he made a great observation. He said he'd like to see a double feature, I'm Not There and I'm Still Here. Kind of like let him duke it out.
Well, every time I hear I'm Still Here, I think of Postcards from the Edge. And I think of the song that she sings at the piano.
Oh, I've never seen Postcards
from
the Edge.
Oh, Good Times and Bum Times, I've seen them all. No? Nothing?
No, I didn't see it. I am aware that's the Carrie Fisher. She wrote that, didn't
mm-hmm.
she?
She did.
That's basically her... deal with that. You know, is that the one? It's Meryl Streep's in it, right?
Meryl Streep and the other lady.
The other lady.
See, there you have to fill in my blanks.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it. I have seen the opening shot. Like, isn't it the opening shot of the movie is because she's an actress on a set and she's high on coke or something like that?
Right.
They're walking there. They have this big, long, elaborate take and she like blows the line at the very end.
Exactly. And, well, the other lady is Warren Beatty's sister. I happen to know
that. Oh, Annette Bening.
No,
Shirley MacLaine, Annette Bening. That would be really sad. I'm sorry.
Creepy.
I really went into some dark territory and we're only like 4 minutes into the show. So.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine. She's in it. She plays Carrie Fisher's mom, basically.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's so thinly veiled. But speaking of, drug addicts, I'm Still Here. It kind of fits
yes.
in with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny as I'm actually going to see this movie in about 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So we're recording early because they didn't screen any. They screened I'm Still Here. They screened, but it's like opening. It's limited. So it's like in limited release this weekend. And then next week is when it's coming to my neck of the woods, which is Columbus. And so that's why I'm getting a kind of late screening. So we have no knowledge whatsoever. We have no knowledge to pass along to you people. It's just going to be us chit-chatting. I got my coffee here. Fozzie's got his Earl Grey tea.
Because I'm classy.
Yeah, she's way classier than me. I don't even have Maxwell House. I was too cheap to buy Maxwell House this time around because the Giant Eagle raised prices on it. And so I got Giant Eagle, which is stupid because I still bought it at Giant Eagle and brought their name brand instead of Maxwell House. So they made money off of me no matter what. It's awful coffee.
So is Giant Eagle a store?
It is this Giant Eagle that has a van and it just sells stuff out the back of its van. And it's I don't think it's legitimate at all, but it's cheap.
Does anybody else see this giant eagle?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Is he here right now?
Yeah. Rock. Would you like some coffee? No, it's a grocery store chain in the Midwest. I think it's in Pennsylvania, and it's in Ohio, and a whole bunch of other places.
Okay.
But it's the big ones in Columbus right now that duke it out are Giant Eagle and Kroger, which Kroger, I don't know if you got Kroger way out. You're in New York, so.
But I used to live in Illinois. I know Kroger.
Okay.
We used to have that.
And Kroger is somehow affiliated with Ralph's, which is a word. That's like the name of, that's like the worst thing you want to call a place that you're going to buy food.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go get some pizza down at Vomit. You want
to
come with me?
Like I'm going to go to the pharmacy, to Ill's Pharmacy.
Exactly.
This makes no sense. But it is affiliated with Ralph's, which is out on the West Coast. But you live in, it's being in New York, there are no chains. It's all, you know, some really overpriced corner grocery.
Yeah, exactly. It's some Midwesterner selling you something and you can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah. I've been to those. When I was in New York and we were hanging out, I stopped at one and it was like sale bananas, $3 for $8. And you're just like, that's not a sale. Bananas are like three for, you know, it's like, it's cheaper to buy them at like, at the Sunoco station.
Well, but the good thing about these little bodegas is it's easier to shoplift than a big chain.
That's true. And once you, and you can get to the subway really quickly, just
yeah, exactly.
So you have that $8 package of almonds. Anyways, we're just padding out time this week because, you know, Hollywood has just decided to, you know, it had these weeks where they're like, you dump like a whole bunch of movies and now this week there's one. And let's get to that movie now. It's Resident Evil Apocalypse in 3D. Alice returns to fight the zombies in 3D.
This was the start of an apocalypse that would sweep the entire world. That was 5 years ago. My name is Alice. The last survivors followed a radio signal to Alaska.
This is Arcadia, broadcasting on the emergency frequency. We offer safety and security, food and shelter.
But I could find only one. Claire.
Who did this to you?
Umbrella.
We have to move on.
We'll talk a little bit more, but we'll probably end up going into the next break and talking about this because we don't have anything else to talk about. But we haven't seen this.
Nope.
But we can talk about the other Resident Evil movies. You've seen the other three, haven't you?
I have. And I thoroughly enjoyed one, kind of like the other. Didn't really pay attention to the other one.
Did you see? Would you saw all three?
I did.
Yeah, it's they kind of have gone downhill. Well, you're a gamer,
right?
So I don't play video games because I don't have the time or the money. But I've always heard that they are ones that are that this series at the very least is relatively close to being accurate to the game. Is that?
I didn't follow the games very much. I bought them out of sequence, and I would play them. I remember they scared me, but from what I've seen, they're pretty accurate. I don't know if it's completely right along with it, but the monsters are the same. Blah blah blah. So yeah, it's fun if you're especially if you're a gamer.
And just blowing up zombies is really all it is.
That's all you need.
Yeah, and I mean I like the first one, and that was directed by one of my favorite guilty pleasures, Paul W.S. Anderson. And I think you did the second one, too. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we get back from the break because we got to head on out right now.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movie. So we're here talking about Resident Evil Apocalypse.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the first couple movies because just sort of like whether they worked for the game and whether we liked them. I liked the first two were good. I thought the first two were about the same level, and the third one got a little goofy. Yeah.
The third one was a little nihilistic for my taste.
Yeah.
It was just everything's dead and people are out there raping you. They'll rape you as soon as they look at you. I didn't want to watch that.
That's the bane of a zombie movie, apparently. Maybe not as much assault.
Yeah, I live in New York. I deal with it every day. I don't want to see it in movies.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I didn't think the third one was the strongest, but I'm really looking forward to this one for no other reason than the 3D. And I've defended the 3D on this show. I've defended 3D in written articles on Film School Rejects. I was on the Golden Briefcase a couple weeks ago defending 3D. I absolutely love 3D. There are people who are still complaining it's a fad. And I'm like, well, so what? Let us have our fun. That does irritate me when there are people like, oh, I can't wait till this 3D stuff's over. I hate 3D. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Some people, some theaters only show 3D exclusively. Quit whining, you know? Let us enjoy our movies. And this one, what I like about this one is, at least from what I'm looking forward to, is it was shot for 3D. It was using 3D technology in the sense that Avatar was, where it was meant to be 3D, as opposed to making a big budget movie and then retrofitting it and just making it 3D, but not composing it in 3D, I guess. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to is the action buddy cop aspect with two chicks. Which you don't see very often, and I like that they brought that in. They didn't bring in a love interest for the Alice character. They brought in the chick from Heroes, Allie Larder. Mm-hmm. They brought her back, and I like that it's going to be two strong women as female leads in this movie.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that since Cagney and Lacey.
That's right. Yeah, or Thelma and Louise, and then we know what happens there.
Right. So. Can't end well.
Isn't it sad? I mean, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, female action. You know, this is funny. I back when The Losers came out on DVD, I watched it, and they were talking about Zoe Saldana in the movie, and they're like, oh, we just didn't want to have your damsel in distress. And I'm like, they don't do that anymore. Usually there are butt-kicking action heroes that are women in movies going back. Yeah, when Ripley did it in Alien in 1979, that was maybe a little bit different. You know, and then Linda Hamilton and the Terminator movies. But by now, when you put a hot woman in a movie, she better be kicking tail. Or if name me a movie that a woman is just in the back going, ooh-ee, save me.
Phantom of the Opera.
Well, that was what? Well, that's a classic. And that was Emily Rossum. And she can't kick butt at all. Did you see Dragon Ball Evolution?
No. No. I've had sex, Kevin. So... I'm actually cool.
Wait, if I've seen that, is that because I've seen Dragon Ball Evolution?
Yeah, isn't that the geeky card game that like losers play in their basement, Dragon Ball?
Well, but they made a movie out of it. And I went to go see it. I took my kids. I took my proof that I've had sex to the movie that apparently is the litmus test on whether or not you have sex.
Yeah, that's not for me. That's not my type of movie. But. But more power to you. If you're a nerd, God love you.
Thank you. I don't play the game, but you know, I'm looking forward to Resident Evil Apocalypse just because I think it'll be big and stupid and dumb, and I like big, stupid, dumb things.
Yeah, me too. That's all it takes. And, you know, you and I were having this conversation earlier about Blu-ray, where I haven't made the switch to Blu-ray yet because I don't really see the difference in between Blu-ray and DVD. I don't have that finely tuned of an eye. And even if they didn't shoot this movie with the Avatar 3D technology, I still love 3D as well. Still, even if it's retrofitted, I don't really see the difference, and I enjoy it.
Well, you know what's funny? Let's talk retrofitted 3D. When I saw Piranha a couple weeks ago,
right.
That was a retro. They shot that in. They knew they were going to release it in 3D, so they shot it for 3D, but they shot it in 2D and converted it. And I guess the reason they did it is because of managing the cameras and the water and all that kind of stuff. It just made it easier to handle. It was a production issue, and I was actually pretty impressed with the 3D retrofit technology. And it was that movie that made me think. I said, you know what? They haven't done too many of these retrofit 3Ds, so the conversion process isn't refined enough. It's sort of like you know, the alligators in Eraser, where you're just like, oh, those don't look real at all. But that was made in 1995. I mean, if you have CGI alligators now, they look awesome.
Right.
So I think what's going to happen down the road, like in 5 or 10 years, you're going to see the 3D conversion process just explode and get much better. And I think they're going to actually refine it to the point that it might even be comparable. I mean, as it is now, it doesn't look as good to somebody like me who notices those sort of things.
Right, exactly. To me,
to stupid
like
moviegoers like you, you're just like, whatever, you mean popcorn and popcorn.
Exactly. I swear, that ball's right in front of me. I can't get it, though. It's right there. Yeah. I'm like a little cat with a laser pointer.
keep you occupied for hours.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I do think we're going to see, it's going to be kind of a horse race to see whether 3D conversion gets good enough that you don't have to shoot in 3D, or if enough 3D films are made that the rigs become available and that they become common enough for people to use. I actually, now after watching Piranha and saying they actually took the care to do it. I mean, you can still tell it's conversion, but 10 years from now, they may not be actually shooting anything in 3D at all. And they just That's might true. Retrofit it all because it might be cheaper, it might be easier, and it might look just as good. Not now, but in 10 years.
So. Well, and also, I wasn't it you that was recently saying, it was somebody in your little milieu of rejects, okay. who was saying that next year the bubble might burst because there's something like 42 3D movies coming out
Well,
in 2011.
At some point, you're going to see it's going to drop off. And I mean, like people will be like, see, Piranha didn't do well. So that's that proves that 3D's, you know, well, you know, you always are going to have that regression effect. But the only way that's going to take it out of the theaters are if people stay away from it because it's 3D. Green Lantern's going to be released in 3D. If people just do not go see it in the 3D theaters, that's where you're going to see there a backlash. But I think people are going to see it in both. You know, whatever.
You know, somebody brought up a good point too about the numbers for not to digress too much, but the numbers for Piranha
3D. Go ahead. We haven't seen any movie.
Oh, good. So for the numbers for Piranha 3D, because it didn't do great. It did well enough to get its sequel, and it didn't do as well as people had maybe predicted. Maybe not the studio, but other people were predicting it would do better. But somebody brought up a point on another podcast that I listened to. Yes, I've been cheating on you. this was an R-rated movie, and Vampire Suck came out the same week as that.
Yeah.
So they think that a lot of kids who wanted to see Piranha bought the ticket to Vampire Suck and then went and saw Piranha 3D, and that's why the numbers for Vampire Suck were so much higher.
That could be possible, but then if you'd have to have glasses for it. I mean, you didn't get glasses to go see, unless you brought glasses. I mean, you can always go see another 3D movie and, you know, bring them from Toy Story or just reach in the recycle bin if you don't mind wearing somebody else's diseased, you know, fungus.
You know, they
glasses.
Don't wash them anyway. You know, yeah. They don't wash them? They put them right back in a bag after they come off your sweaty, greasy face.
Really? Do they?
Yeah.
In New York?
I found that out. Yeah, probably. And everybody's sweaty and greasy here.
It's a requirement. At the city limits, they're like, whoa, you're way too clean cut.
Yeah. Rub a little bacon on your face and send you through the Holland Tunnel.
That's great. Anyways, but I'm looking forward to Resident Evil Apocalypse, but it does get a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us. They didn't even screen it in New York. They're having the courtesy screening at 10 a.m. I got an invite to that. I'm like, I'm not going to New York to see this 10 hours after I see it in Columbus.
Come on. We'll go to brunch. It'll be fun.
Yes, I'll be there. I'll start driving now.
Okay, good.
Anyways, the next movie we're going to talk about real quick, because, again, we haven't seen it. I'm going to see it in about 12 hours. Is I'm Still Here, in which Casey Affleck makes a documentary about Joaquin Phoenix leaving acting to make it as a rapper.
That's you. Drop some water. And you're on top of the mountain. But one day you start sliding down the mountain, and you think, wait a minute. I'm a mountaintop water drop. I don't belong in this valley. Then you understand that it was at your lowest that you were closest to God. Life's a journey that goes round and round, and the end is closest to the beginning. So if it's change you need, relish the journey.
What's your take on this? Do you know much about this movie?
You know, it seems like it's all staged. Now, I wanted to mention, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I saw the movie Catfish recently.
Yeah.
That we talked about, which is also a documentary, and people have talked about it being staged. I did not, even if it is, I didn't feel it at all, and I didn't care if it was staged, and I don't see how it actually could be. Whereas if I see this movie, I'm just going to be thinking, this is bullshit, it's all made up for the, can I say bullshit? I'm sorry.
Not in this segment. So you said it twice, so I'm saying it again.
So I'm going to think that it's all, sorry about that. I'm going to think that it's all made up and that they're just faking it for the camera and I'm not going to care. And I already don't care.
Yeah. I described it to somebody. I said, well, this is sort of like if Andy Kaufman made a movie, this would be his movie. And I don't know, it might be like Bruno or Borat where you know it's a goof, but it might be funny. I don't know. I have a feeling it's, I don't know.
And I hate Andy Kaufman, too, because it's only funny to you. If it's only funny to you, it's not a joke.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't get it seems like he's got his Oscar nominations. He's done big movies and he's bored. So he decided to try this and it might be awful. Who knows? I'll see it. I'll know. I'll let you know in about 12 hours. So,
all right.
We got to go to a break.
Waiting with bated breath.
All right.
32 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment where Fozzie Bear can now swear and talk about bullshit and rape.
Sorry about that. My bad.
Without the backlash of listeners from Wyoming.
I'm sure Wyoming people, they love that.
They love us out there. They love that. They love bullshit, rape, and westerns.
That's the most exciting thing that's happened to them all week.
Wow. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about the box office. This is the first thing. And it's a little muddled because you have the three-day weekend and the four-day weekend. And one of them opened on Wednesday. What the hell are they thinking about when they schedule these movies? Anyways, if you listened to us last week, Frothy Girl, Shannon Hood and I, we were dead on. I said it's going to be a horse race and everything's going to be right around $10 million. And for the 3-day weekend, it was $13 million, $11 million, $10 million, $7 million. So it was right there.
Wow.
And the big thing that surprised a lot of people is the Americans beat the Mexicans again. It was the Mexican-American War all over again. And George Clooney and the Americans beat Danny Trejo and the machete.
That really surprises me, considering just word of mouth. I've heard nothing but negative things about the American other than on your show last week. And everybody I know loved Machete, who has seen it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Machete is for that. It's for the grindhouse crowd.
Yeah.
And
I do know a lot of nerds.
What I thought was interesting was you had all three movies, The American, Machete, and Going the Distance, which bombed. But Going the Distance, they're three R-rated movies. I mean, there was no PG, there's no PG-13. There wasn't even your obligatory, like last week was The Last Exorcism and Takers, which are both PG-13. No, it was RRR. This week is R, I think, is Apocalypse rated R.
It's got to be.
It might be PG-13. But yeah, so I, and none of them did big business. I mean, George Clooney's never been a huge box office draw. He's never really brought the dollars in, but yeah, he made it was $16 million when you took in the Labor Day. And then when you took in everything, it was almost $20 million from when it opened. So it's like 7-day gross was like 19.8. It wasn't no big surprises. Going the Distance didn't do well.
That's a shame. I enjoyed Going the Distance. Not to go too far back, but I enjoyed it. I kind of wanted it to do better. But it'll have a big rebirth on video.
I think it just didn't know who it was going for. It was a romantic comedy, but they raunched it up. And so if you for the people who would go see, what's the one coming out? You Again with Kristen Bell and Odette Yetzman.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit that crowd at all. It's not the Reese Witherspoon crowd. It's the raunchy. There was a great little make fun of Michael Bay moment in there, which I did enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy that Drew Barrymore was able to, she felt more like herself and more natural in this movie than I've seen her in a long time. I think this is her milieu. So maybe this was just kind of like her starter point, and now she's going to do better things more like this.
I liked the fact that they had a recovering alcoholic drug user taking drugs and drinking a lot in the movie. I thought that was really kind of very odd. It was weird watching her as a character, toking up on a bong and drinking until she got completely, shit-faced at the bar. And you're just like, yeah, she probably hasn't really done that since she was like
12,
9.
Yeah. But it's just like riding a bike. Came right back to her.
Yeah, she's like, I was carried out of bars all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think is going to win this weekend?
This weekend? Well, I think it has to be Resident Evil. I don't see anything coming back and making a big, big comeback. Word of mouth for Machete might boost it up a little bit, just from what I've heard. But I think Resident Evil is the way to go. It's getting into that fall kind of horror movie feeling anyway.
Yeah. Well, what's nice is up until a couple years ago, just people got out of the way for horror movies in the fall. Like, last year was a good number of horror movies coming out. But like 2 years ago, it was like Quarantine and Saw were the only movies that came out in October. All the horror movies were thrown into January. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's nice that looks like we're going to have some decent horror movies coming into the fall. Cause you and I are both big horror movie fans.
Oh yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I will also, for anybody who cares, not that anybody does, I am going to be doing my where I watch one horror movie a day over the course of October. So
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you suggested a whole bunch to me last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a bunch more for you this year.
I think the ones you suggested, the one I remember specifically you suggesting was Who Could Kill a Child.
Love that movie.
That was really, really good. 70s. I love 70s horror because it can be really creepy, but just wildly inappropriate and just bizarre.
Yeah, and the pacing, too. They knew how to pace things a little bit better then. And I'm not saying I don't like all 70s pacing, but like horror movies from the 70s kind of knew what to do. They knew how to really string you along, and you think nothing's going on, and then they just kick you right in the balls. And I can say balls here.
You can say balls. You can say nuts. You can say, you know, whatever.
Wang. They kick you right in the dick is what they do.
Wow.
Is that too far?
I don't know. Sometimes that hurts. You know, I don't know. It's just...
It's hard to aim exactly for the dick.
If you hit it right, you're going to get some real crushes going on there that's going to make you bleed.
Yep. See, there's Fetish Direct. That's what...
You'll be peeing orange for a while if that happens. Anywho. Yeah, I think Resident Evil is going to... Obviously, Resident Evil is going to win. It's probably going to be $25 million. I don't see it being huge.
No.
Because it's a little early for. I mean, it bridges the gap between action-y sort of movie and a horror movie. So that's what I think is gonna win. Let's move on. I got an email that I wanted to point out. I'm gonna read this on the air because it just made me chuckle. It's not in your show notes, so I'm diverting. But then we can divert into whatever your diversion. But this is from a person who emailed me on my website, which is 7mpictures.com, which is posts all of my full reviews for movies. That's usually linked off of Fat Guys of the Movies. And I don't have a comment section on there because I just hate dealing with spam. And
right.
And people can say whatever they want to. And I'm just like, people are like, well, you're an idiot. You know, and I'm like, I don't want to spend my time moderating that crap. But I do have an email address that he emailed to me. So here it is. I'm going to just read it to you.
Okay.
Here it goes. All right. Who is the main critic? The bald one, I think. Yeah, he's an idiot. I have never done this, but I just have to speak up. His reviews are a joke. Gone with the Wind, 3 stars. However, he had the nerve to give Salt 4 stars. He doesn't even appreciate the classics. Oh, excuse me. But he sure does love them blockbuster films. I just want to say that bald guy, that he should not be a critic. He's just a typical film goer who likes to see things get blown up. You should change him. I don't know what that means. think of it this way. Are you going to trust somebody who likes a movie like Alien vs. Predator? Jonah Hex? What the fuck? That just warmed the cockles of my heart. That. Well, because if anyone knows me and knows my critic sort of stance, I've always been kind of like the average moviegoer, and I'm not into art house films. I'm really not all that excited about the award season because a lot of the movies that get out there, some of them, they bore me. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that's why you and I get along so well, I think, because when I went and saw something this past weekend, what did I see? I don't even remember what I was seeing, but before they showed a preview for this movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman, like Bob Gets a Boat.
Oh, I've heard of that. I think I scanned through a preview.
I wanted to kick that movie in the dick. I was so angry I had to sit there for a full minute and watch like this chubby, fat son of a bastard who looks like he was just stung by a bee trying to learn how to row a boat.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I can appreciate certain movies, and I'm like, that's great if it's got an audience, but what's wrong with having a movie that's entertaining? And yes, I like Salt better than Gone with the Wind. Who cares? I mean, Gone with the Wind, I can appreciate it, but it's 4 hours long,
yeah.
And it's not... It's, I mean, and yes, it's made for its time. I mean, this is like compared. I just recently watched Hamlet, the Eternity version. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this in the DVD segment. the 4 hour Kenneth Branagh monstrosity, which is a good movie. It's a beautifully shot movie, and it's Hamlet. So I mean, hey, it's Hamlet. But you know, Hamlet was written hundreds of years ago when people would go to the theater and it'd be live performance, and it was this big long thing, and it was you wanted something that'd be 4 hours long. And you watch the movie, and they just repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. I mean, there's a scene where he meets the ghost of his dad, and his dad's like, first of all, the ghost says, this is me translating, of course, out of the Shakespearean language. He says, I can't tell you exactly what happened to me. And then he goes on to tell him exactly what happened to him. He's like, my brother killed me, and he poisoned me, and he snuck up behind me and he poisoned me, and it was my brother who had killed me, and my brother, who was your father, who's your uncle, had killed me, and then, you know, it was my brother. I mean, he just repeats and repeats and repeats. And that's not a complaint. It's just it was a very different way of storytelling hundreds of years ago. And even, what, you know, Gone with the Wind came out 70 years ago. It was a very different time for movies.
And then you could smoke in the theater. You could sit there for 4 hours because you need to go take a smoke break.
And that's the thing. It was the big deal. And not to say that all movies need to be, you know, fast paced or whatever, but even just the general way of storytelling was a little bit, is different. And, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong. I mean, I can appreciate Gone with the Wind, but... Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the greatest movie I seen. I mean, if you talk movies that came out in 1939, Wizard of Oz was way better.
Right.
I'm sorry. So take that, you know? But I get that all the time. Like, I saw Sunset Boulevard for the first time a couple years ago, and I gave it kind of like 2.5 stars. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's no Money Pit.
Yeah. But I've gotten more shit for not liking Sunset Boulevard, where I'm like, okay, fine. So what? I didn't like it. You know, your average moviegoer now, you take an average moviegoer off the street, they go see Sunset Boulevard, they're probably not going to like it either.
Right.
So what's wrong with that? And I kind of took it as a compliment that it says I'm just a typical film goer. And I'm like, yes, that's how I see these movies. So, I thought that this whole thing, I thought this was a great comment. I mean, Salt was good. Did you see Salt?
No, I did not. I will on DVD. Yeah. That's one that I'll wait for because I like Angelina Jolie. I like spies. I like drama. And I did hear something last week that movie was originally written for a man, and she campaigned for it and said, no, I see this character. I see how it's going to be done. That I want to do this movie, and she made it work. So I'm excited to see how that translates.
Yeah, I think it was written for Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's a natural progression.
Yeah, exactly. But like even Alien versus Predator, people like, how dare you like Alien versus Predator? Or like Jonah Hex, as much shit as Jonah Hex got, I was like, it was enjoyable too. I mean, it was 80 minutes long, you're in and out, and it wasn't like The Assassination of Jesse James, which goes on for 3 hours, and it was like, oh, Jesus. Let me guess, he gets assassinated at the end, you know?
I might have brought this up before, but my boyfriend was watching Elizabeth one time. He wanted me to watch his favorite movie, Elizabeth, with him. And
that's his favorite movie?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, George.
I know. So we were watching, and I was kind of laying there, and I think I dozed off at one point. And when I woke up, he was like, oh, do you want me to tell you what you missed? I was like, oh, is she still a Protestant? Ooh, is she going to remain a Protestant? I'm so on the edge of my seat. I'm with you. I like boobs blowing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's why not? Let's have it. And you know, so, and I always think it's funny that people like put a value judgment on you and be like, well, you didn't like this movie. And I'm like, everybody's going to disagree with something.
Right.
So, but I thought I'd share that bald guy critic.
Yeah.
I thought was really funny.
Somebody needs to change you.
Yes. They need to change me. I don't know what that means.
You're getting a little ripe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's because I mean, I haven't showered in a couple days. But that's because I work from home. And the only person I have to deal with is my 2-year-old. And he doesn't care. He shits his pants.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's great. I wish, you know, it's great that you can only do this at the beginning or the end of your life. Just crap your pants in front of people.
Oh, yeah, and
you
get away with
it.
Look
in the eye. Smile. Like my son, we were eating dinner. And he was feeding himself. Like, oh, good job. And he's like, he smiles. And then he like starts to get red. He starts making noises, and we're just like, oh, he's pooping.
Yeah.
He?
It looks like he's thinking really hard.
I mean, what age can you actually poop at the dinner table?
Oh, that's the life, isn't it?
Yeah. And here's another funny story. This has nothing to do with movies, but it's about poop and my kid.
Fun.
And that's why people listen, right?
Right. It's the poop cast.
My aunt works at an old folks home. And I went over to drop something off or pick something up from her. And it was a Saturday afternoon. And so all the old people come down and they sit in this area, which, by the way, a little bit of advice to anybody who's got family in an old folks home, never, ever, ever sit down in any chair. In an old,
duly
especially,
noted.
Especially an upholstered chair. Because let me just ask you, would you... stretch, would you go to your vet's office and stretch out and lay down on the floor of the examination room? I don't think you would.
Good point.
And so I brought my son, and he's two, and he's running. And of course, 2 year olds, if you've ever dealt with a 2 year old, they are just this force of nature that runs around and does their own thing. And I came in there, and they're all, since it was Saturday afternoon, there are all these old people just sitting in this area, and they're like, oh, look, a little kid, isn't it adorable, and everything. And this woman comes up, she starts talking to me. She's got this walker, and she's talking to me, oh, what's his name? And I'm holding him. He's kind of getting scared because he doesn't know her. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm thinking to myself, wow, he's starting to smell ripe. I'm going to have to change him when I get home. And then I leave. When I get in the van with him, he didn't smell anymore.
Interesting.
And I'm pretty sure that the woman I was talking to was like crapping her pants as I was talking to her.
Oh, what a lucky lady.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, that's someone's grandma. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that could be your grandma right there. You know, on a completely different note, just to,
how dare you take a different note than crapping your pants?
Yeah, can I not talk about poop for a second? I don't know the rules, obviously, but I do want to fit in, and I know I mentioned this before, I do want to fit in a little talk about the movie Catfish that's coming out on the 17th.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I got tickets to a screening of this movie, to an advanced screening, and I had seen the trailer on IMDb about a month ago, and I was very intrigued. Now, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but it's about this guy, it's a documentary about this guy who meets a woman online and becomes smitten with her, and it's about his story to meet her. So he travels to where she lives in, like, Minnesota, I believe, and then the...
You know what? I think I have seen a trailer.
Yeah, and it went viral. Everybody was talking about it. So, and it's about the strange events that happen after he
goes. I'm gonna completely derail your derailment and say I love the fact that nowadays when you say you've gone viral is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the 70s, that was not a good thing.
Yeah, that you could get a virus that would just make you shit your pants at the drop of a hat. But, so
after this movie got herpes, what happened?
Right.
So here,
the movie wasn't what I expected, but I got to say I absolutely thoroughly loved it, enjoyed it. And it's going to be a little movie. It's going to be hard to market because it's very unique, but I think people need to go out and see it. I want everybody to go see now and let me know what you think. You can reach me at twitter.com/FozzieBear, BARE, and just let me know what you think of this movie because I thought it was brilliant, really interesting filmmaking. I'll tell you another thing too. There's a lot of talk about it as to whether it's a real documentary or if it's staged, and people are expecting this thing to come out where it's like, you know, a million little pieces where we're going to find out that it's not real. Whereas I don't...
Or a million little fibers.
Yeah, exactly, right? Whereas I don't believe that. I don't see how it could be, because if so, the acting is amazing. If that's the case, all these people deserve Oscars because it was so spot on. But
so it's not like the Billy Eyre Witch project?
No.
Project.
Where you can see the cracks and... Yeah, no, not at all.
Oh my God, where's the map? The map! I threw the map away!
Yeah,
the map!
Why did they have a map anyway? You have a map of trees and dirt. What's the good's that going to do you?
You have a map of woods that nobody goes in.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. But
like, there's a hill here.
Right. No, I definitely remember this tree. But anyway, this movie is, even if it does turn out to be false, I was thoroughly enjoyed, and it's a beautiful character study. So I think either way, I enjoy it, and I want to see it get some recognition.
Is it as good as The Room? Because I know you've been pimping out The Room like,
you know,
nobody's business.
On my podcast, which is The Podcast at www.thepodcastpodcast.com, we did a special all about The Room recently, and I had people from different shows, and we all talked about it, how much we loved it, how much we hated it. I got an interview with Greg Sestero, who plays Mark in the film. I'm still smitten with that movie as well. It is the best worst movie ever made. A lot of people will say Troll 2, screw Troll 2, The Room. If you haven't seen that, go see that. Get it from
now.
Netflix.
Here's my question: is it something you got to see with somebody, or is it something you can just sort of like experience the horror just alone late at night watching it yourself?
You absolutely can. You can experience it by yourself, but I'm telling you, it's going to be so much more fun with people because I've watched it 30, 40 times now, and there have been times when I have watched it by myself, and I'll think of something witty to say, and if there's nobody here, it kills me. That's why I tweet so much when I watch it.
Well, yeah, because they're showing it at a theater in town here in Columbus, and they showed it because it's getting this midnight movie kind of status to it,
right?
And I'm not going to go see it there because it's at the other end of town, and I don't have to deal with
it.
That.
Would so be worth it, but all right,
I know, but I mean, I could get it from Netflix. That's the whole thing, is to get it from Netflix or wait till at some point. Until you and I are in the same city, and they'd be like, we're watching The Room.
Right. Well,
bitches,
you know, adults,
this is happening.
Adult Swim shows it. They have, for the last 2 years, they've shown it on April Fool's Day. So hopefully they'll do that again. So if you can hold out till April, you can see it there.
Well, we could do like the whole live tweet thing too. That's because we do the live tweeting.
Yeah, I definitely think we should. If any movie deserves that, that movie does.
Yeah, because I've just heard, and I've heard that he made it straight. The guy made it straight, and then it came out so disastrously bad. And then he did the whole thing, and I hate when filmmakers do this. Like, oh no, I was going for sort of this hyper realism. I was going for sort of like bad movie. Like, no, you weren't.
No, he wasn't.
No, you weren't. Nobody does that. No, nobody sets that out. It's sort of like Battlefield Earth. You heard the story about how they were going to market Battlefield Earth, didn't you?
No.
Travolta made this movie, and it was awful. And they're looking at it, they're going, how are we going to release this? Because they're just like, they had committed to it, they'd spent money, and they wanted to run a campaign that was basically, you would not believe how bad this movie is unless you see it. Was kind of the campaign they wanted to run, and Travolta wouldn't let them because he was an executive producer.
Well, and a Scientologist.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, right.
The authority on all that stuff.
On Xenu. And your metachlorines, I think. I'm not sure exactly.
Metachlorines. I think we're mixing up movies here. Anyways, let's move on. We've talked about The Room. We've talked about Catfish. Let's talk about other movies. Well, the big movie is Resident Evil Apocalypse, which they did not screen. And so this kind of linked into the Fat Guy 5 of five fun films that weren't screened. Because usually when a movie's not screened for press, especially nationally, not screened for press, because sometimes they'll do it and be like top 10 markets only kind of thing.
Right.
No, when a movie's not screened for press at all, it's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah. And if it's a romantic comedy and it's not screened, watch out.
Yeah.
But, and you'll notice a pattern here in these movies that we talk about. These are movies that are notoriously not screened or screened incredibly limitedly. So for me, it was not screened. Maybe it's screened in New York and LA. So this is our five fun films that weren't screened. At least for Kevin. So the first one on the list is not a horror movie, but it's Rambo. It was the remake or the fourth installment of the Rambo franchise a couple years ago where it, and what was interesting is I knew a lot of people wanted to see it and they saw it and they loved it. And it lost by like $300,000 opening weekend to Meet the Spartans.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a blow.
And it was funny. I was so pissed. I emailed the rep and I said, this film lost by $300,000 on a national level. If I had seen it and could talk about how good it was, I could have had an impact to make it win the weekend. Because, you know, because I'm on the radio and all that kind of stuff. Back then I wasn't on TV, but I was on the radio. And so there's a lot of people who listen to my stuff. So, I mean, like, even if just some people went, maybe that could have helped boost it to win, to have beaten Meet the Spartans. I was so pissed that they didn't screen that because it was a great movie.
Why do you think they didn't?
It's because it's Lionsgate. Lionsgate has a real spotty a history of screening things. Sometimes they just don't. Like, they didn't screen From Paris with Love. Locally, and they should have, because I thought it was a fun movie.
A lot of people did. Yeah, they just didn't have faith in it. That's a shame.
Yeah. So that's why they didn't. The next one. You want to take the next one?
The next one's one of my favorites, because I'm a big fan of slasher movies in general, and I love the original, and I loved the remake, and I loved the hype around the remake, and that movie is My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yes. Now, again, 3D movies.
Yeah. I was sold on this movie from the preview with people just watching it and fire shooting out of the screen. I was like, sold. I'm there. I don't care what the movie's about. I'm in.
Yeah.
But that movie was fun. It was brilliant. They realized what they had. It was kind of like the another movie on our list, which I guess I should say it, Piranha 3D, will come too soon, whereas they knew what that movie was, and they knew exactly. They had a scene where a woman's running around completely naked for 5 minutes. And they're we realize this is going to be 3D. It's nothing
in 3D.
Yeah, it's nothing but tits and blood, and that's what you're getting. And so I had a blast.
I loved Piranha. I mean, My Bloody Valentine 3D. I thought that was a lot of fun. And I even pointed that out. I think my pull quote on Rotten Tomatoes was about the woman running around naked in glorious 3D.
It was glorious.
And speaking of naked people in 3D, Piranha 3D, that's another one. They didn't screen it at all, which, they should have, because it's like something like 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's probably the best-reviewed horror movie in years.
I had more fun at that movie than I've had in months and months. I can't remember the last time I had that much fun at a movie that knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just meant to be stupid. It was just meant to be bloody and gory, and it was meant to be over the top. And what I think is an interesting caveat to that is, you know, you've heard the whole story about Joe Francis threatening to sue. And my question is, was he suing because the piranha threw up his penis?
Or didn't swallow it whole? Bitch?
Was he like, wait a minute. If I were eaten by piranhas, they'd totally gobble that thing up because that's delicious.
They were very generous to him, too, in the CGI.
Yeah, because if you looked at the size of those piranhas, I mean, he was like Dirk Diggler size.
Right.
Because that was flaccid at that point.
Exactly.
Wow, I think way too much about that. But yeah, Piranha 3D, that was a lot of fun. That wasn't screened at all, so...
You know, and the next one is another one of my favorites that kind of is universally despised, but I had a lot of fun at this movie, which is G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, this was actually famous for not being screened. I mean, they literally wrote news stories, national news stories about it not being screened. Interesting note, it was screened for the public, and they barred press from it, and one of the cities they screened it in, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, now...
There were screenings in Columbus, Ohio that I was not allowed to go to.
Now, why did this movie get press for not screening, whereas other movies didn't?
It just made the news. Because what happened was, it was the same summer that Transformers 2 came out and made $400 and some million. And it just had like a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. And Paramount was like... And I think it was a marketing ploy. I think Paramount was like, oh, well, we'll make a big deal about not screening it for critics, and then everybody will write about it and bitch about it, and we'll get all this free press.
That kind of backfired.
I mean, it did okay. It was an August movie. It was not going to make $300 million.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was fun. It was big, stupid, dumb action. I mean, it's from the director of Van Helsing.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been out long enough. Can I just to give a minor spoiler about the movie? My absolute favorite thing about this movie is through the entire thing, the Destro character is just a normal guy, and you see this metal mask sitting on his desk, and you're like, he gonna put on that metal mask, and they're like through the whole movie, and then at the end of it, like they give him an injection, and he turns to metal.
Yes,
it was a quick a switcheroo. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, was that actually spoiling anything?
I know. I don't know if anybody cares, but I loved that.
Yeah, I mean, it's movies like this that when people complain about them and they're like, oh, well, this movie is like the Fantastic Four movies, which they did screen. And people are like, oh, it's got stupid dialogue and the characters are goofy and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, have you read like one of the Fantastic Four comics from the 60s?
Right.
Because damn, I mean, it's goofy as hell.
Yeah. I could have wrote that review without seeing it.
Yeah, so I mean, let's look at the source material. It would be like if they made a Super Friends movie with Zan and Jaina, and they made it a little bit goofy and cheesy. I'm like, well, have you watched the Super Friends?
Right.
From the 80s, Wonder Twin Powers, and Gleek, where the hell does he get that bucket?
My favorite thing about the Wonder Twins is that one of them would always turn into something awesome, and the other one would turn into something really lame that would help the other one. It was like, form of a doomsday button, and the other one's like, form of a finger.
Well, the rules they use is the girl, Jaina, she could turn into an animal.
Right.
And then Zan would turn into an element of some sort.
Right.
So he would be like water. And then Gleek would always have the bucket. But he was, and then it would be like form of an ice spear. And it'd be like form of an ice tank. Form of an ice cool weapon thingy. And she'd be like form of a gorilla. Wah! And rip things apart.
He's like, I'm just going to hang back here. You go ahead and take care of that gorilla.
Yeah. Anyways, but to the last one, because we're way over time. It's amazing. We had nothing to talk about yet.
Look, yeah, I know.
The other one, the Saw films, with not all of them, because they actually screened the first two. I don't remember they actually had a daytime press screening for Saw 2, which I liked. Do you like the Saw movies?
You know, I'll watch them. I'm not a big fan, but I've seen every single one.
Yeah. Are you going to see the new one in 3D?
I will see it on DVD in 2D.
Really? But you said you love 3D. You're not. It's not worth going because it's got to be what, like $86 to go see a movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I go to a few movies. Like we've talked about, I like the vampire movies. See, you always have to fill in
Twilight.
My blanks. Thank you.
Twilight. You'd be like, oh, that movie. What is that? I forget. I've never heard of it. It's only mentioned a couple times.
Yeah,
in the media.
It's this little independent underground movie. But no, I enjoy the Twilight movies, but I'll never go see one in the theater. I don't like it that much. But there's movies that I want to see. But I have my huge TV. What's the point of going to a theater and sitting with all these losers who's screaming in my ear when I can see something at home? So I'll see it, but I'll wait.
Yeah. What kind of movies will you, what gets you out of the house or the apartment to go see a movie?
You know, well, this is going to sound funny, but a really good horror movie, because I don't think Saws are really good horror movies. They're blood and gore. I like a really good suspenseful movie. Like, I went and saw The Last Exorcist recently, or The Last Exorcism. And I loved it. I was scared the entire way through. I'm such a puss when it comes to horror movies, but I love them. So a really good horror movie will make me go, and also a really good, usually a female-centric action movie, which is why I'll probably go see Resident Evil this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And I was there first.
Spend your paycheck to go see that.
Yeah, I will. And I'm going to see, you know, I was there first in line to see Charlie's Angels and Charlie's Angels 2, Full Throttle.
Full Throttle.
CA2FT is what I, as I call it. So those are the movies that will get me to go to the theater. Horrible movies, but that's what I'm there for. But I won't see Saw in the theater. I like them, but I don't consider it a good movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll go see. I mean, I end up going to see these movies at midnight anyway. So I'm pained. People always, well, you're a critic. You get to say, oh, no, I maybe about half the 3D movies I actually see, I actually end up paying for. I had to pay for Piranha. I'm going to have to pay for Resident Evil. I saw Avatar in digital 3D, and then I paid to go see it in IMAX to see the difference.
Wow.
So I mean, I actually spend money. So people, you know, hey, it's not just...
I
do that for the fans, yes, for the fans, whatever. So I can write off movie tickets and popcorn off my taxes, that's why.
All right. Well, but you know, the thing about the Saw movies, they don't really have to screen them. They sell themselves now.
They don't.
Yeah, they don't need you to tell people that it's going to be bloody and gory. People know that. They know what they're getting.
Well, and that's why, and again, it's Lionsgate, and that's why Lionsgate doesn't screen them, because these genre properties, they don't have to screen the Twilight movies, but I think they do just to get it written about,
right?
Because it builds the buzz. If they didn't screen the Twilight movies, I think people would be like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, there's a negative connotation when they don't screen something now, so they kind of have to.
Yeah, especially if it's something huge.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why, like if they don't screen Saw 3D, which is Saw 7, which should be called Saw 7 3D.
Right.
But if it's not screening that, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't screen, like, they got The Social Network coming up. If they don't screen that, people would be like, woohoo, mm-hmm. What the hell?
Hold up. I better Facebook this.
What?
That it's going to be a bad movie. Oh, people go on Facebook and be like, don't go see that. They didn't screen it. Ironically,
on Facebook is going to be the best enemy or the worst friend. The best enemy or the worst enemy or the best friend.
Yeah,
of the social network.
A frenemy.
That's right. We sound like we're drunk. We need to get going here and go to the last segment, because we're just embarrassing ourselves at this point.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out of witty things to say. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. It's time for the world-famous DVD Roundup.
See, the third time doing the show, and you're just smooth into this. No problem at all. Yes.
Remember the first time where I had that big, long pause in the middle?
Yeah, it was... It's so funny, because this is so normal for me and Neil to do. And then when we bring in a guest, so it's like having to explain how to do the DVD Roundup, I realize... that our show's maybe a little more complicated. make it more difficult than it should be.
Well, because on my show, I do the world-famous lightning round.
Ah, yes.
And which I basically just stole world-famous from you. But
yes, because I coined that term.
Yeah. Well, I think you actually stole it from the Cheesecake Factory. But anyway.
Maybe.
So that's where I got confused the first time I did it. Right in the middle, I was like, wait, is this the lightning round? Or is it? I forget what's happening.
Oh,
but no, we're here for DVDs right now. This week's DVD releases.
That's right. And I'm going to... Let me just roll out a couple older ones before I go into the current list. We've got Batman the Brave and the Bold. I finally got through that. That's actually a cute little show. If you watch it, it's on the Cartoon Network. And it's not the heavy-duty, really morose Batman cartoon. It's a little campier, a little sillier, closer to like maybe Teen Titans. It's not like Adam West and Burt Ward necessarily. But that's actually a neat little show. Also, the Hamlet Blu-ray book. I mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. It looks fantastic on Blu-ray because it was shot for 70mm. And I finally got a chance to watch Dexter Season 4.
Ooh, what'd you
which
think?
I loved it. I mean, I had heard the big ending. I had heard rumors of that. And considering if you follow TV news, you know certain people are getting shows, mm-hmm. you know. But I saw it coming. It was way, I think I would have guessed it.
Yeah, they kind of telegraphed it.
Yeah, a lot. anyways, then there's, but the new ones that are out, there's, of course, the big one everyone's racing out to get is Camp Rock 2.
Including me.
The final jam, which I don't think is going to be the final jam because it did very well. There's also MacGruber, which I think I said on your podcast, the podcast, was going to be a runaway hit.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, it was one letter off. Let's just say that. But I loved it. I love MacGruber. It's in an unrated version. I think it's going to do better on. It's going to develop that cult status. I hope. I could maybe. I don't know. The Office season 6, which the best thing about a movie like the show like The Office is, when they have deleted scenes, they have like 2 hours of them, and they're good because it's all just sort of the situational stuff. It's not. It's stuff they took out because of the running time, not because it was not funny. So,
right.
They've got a lot of stuff there, and then there's Chuck season 3. Which is a good show. There's also Smallville season 9, which is the way to pick up the Smallville show because it doesn't have all the teen angsty stuff in it from like the first couple seasons. That's on DVD and Blu-ray. Looks great on Blu-ray if you're into the... on the sort of CW front, you've got Supernatural season 5, also available on Blu-ray and DVD. And, you know, that's a great little Monster of the Week show and has a neat little overall story. You ever watch... You don't watch the WB or... CW much, do you?
You know, I started watching Supernatural a couple of years ago. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a Buffy man.
Ah,
so
yes.
Yeah, so I tried to watch
not
the
a
show.
Buff man, a Buffy man.
No, not far from a Buff man, but I'm a Buffy man. I tried to watch the show, and anytime the rules change, you know, as far as vampires go and like what ghosts do and et cetera, I couldn't get into it. And I like more female centric shows. That's just how I roll.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get it. I couldn't seem to care about these guys. But the episodes I've seen, solid. Just not for me.
Cool. There's also The Player on Blu-ray for the first time with Tim Robbins, and Solitary Man with Michael Douglas. That's a smaller release out on Blu-ray and DVD, so check those out. But the ones I really want to point out, and I was tweeting about these this last weekend, Warner Brothers has released 6 sci-fi Blu-rays, these older films that they brought back. THX-1138, which does not have the original cut, it's just the director's cut, but looks pretty cool on Blu-ray. Forbidden Planet.
Oh, that's great.
It's a great show. A great movie. And it comes with like an extra Robbie the Robot movie on the Blu-ray.
Oh.
Mars Attacks on Blu-ray. Lost in Space, which wasn't a great movie, but it's a lot of fun. It looks beautiful on Blu-ray. The Matrix Reloaded, which I'm one of the few people who love that movie. And it, again, looks fantastic on Blu-ray. It's one of those that if you were to watch a DVD and then watch a Blu-ray, even you who doesn't like care about the image quality... you would totally notice the difference.
Okay. I'll believe you.
Yeah. And then A Scanner Darkly, the Philip K. Dick sort of drug-induced pseudo-sci-fi movie, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I can appreciate. I love the animation style, the rotoscoping animation style on all those. So all 6 of those are new to Blu-ray. They look fantastic, and it's almost worth, even if you're just going to rent them, but buy them because you can get them relatively affordable since they're catalog releases.
Yeah, Blu-ray's definitely going down anyway. The price is going down.
Oh, way down. Yeah. The stinker, I'm going to let you take the stinker because I'll just ignore mine. What's your stinker?
Well, I have one pick of the week is Poltergeist coming out on Blu-ray. Even though I'm not a Blu-ray fan, Poltergeist is an absolutely beautiful movie, and it's a really in addition to being really scary, it's a beautifully moving movie too.
Yeah,
I know. Every time I see it, I tear up. There are a couple parts that make me tear up every time I watch it. And my stinker of the week is Pulse, which is one of the worst movies ever made. Poor Kristen Bell, love her, God love her, but that was awful.
You know they make fun of that movie in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, and they nail it too.
Yeah. What's even worse is like Pulse 2 and Pulse 3, which I don't suggest watching.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
Ryder Strong's in Pulse 3 to bring you in that. Review wrap up. Resident Evil Apocalypse 3D. They didn't show us. Gets a preemptive suck, but we both really want to see it. I'm still here. I'm going to be seeing, but we'll talk about later, probably next week. Next week, we got Alpha and the Omega. No, not Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega. It's not about Jesus. It's about dogs. Devil, Easy A, and The Town. FatGuysInTheMovies.com. You can catch Fozzie Bear at thepodcastpodcast.com and twitter.com/FozzieBear. I'm sorry I didn't give those information, but we'll have all that on the website. So thanks for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me. Anytime. Sorry about that bullshit line.
You're like, bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Sorry, totally forgot.